make sure I get in the right place here. Got things for Sunday school, still things from, I guess, last Sunday, and then for tonight. So I got to make sure I get in the right place here. But it sure is good to be here tonight and see all of you. I hope you're having a good week so far. And we're still in the thick of it at work, all the busy stuff, talking to Brother Tim about that. But we're getting there. I know one thing, my watch is a lot happier. I've been closing my rings pretty quick, so I like that. That's a good feeling. Feel like you're getting some things done and getting out of the office a little bit and everything, but still just real busy. And I wanted to share this with the church before I forgot, and I just learned about it. Brandy had told me about it earlier, but Sister Patricia Fletcher, we worked together at App. That's Brother Randall Fletcher's wife. She had a heart attack today at work and was taken in for surgery. I don't know anything else. I don't know any other update or anything like that. But I'd say probably several of you, most of you probably know her. And so I wanted to share that and make sure that not to forget that for prayer time tonight. And definitely wanted to mention that. But if you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew 9, we'll look at verses 9 through 13. Very interesting how things come together sometimes. And had a member on Sunday hand me a piece of paper and said, "Hey, you know, read over this. It's pretty good." And it's about preparation for church, preparation for the Lord's Day. And that's good every time, not just for Sunday. It's good for Wednesday. And honestly, it's good for any time you go to church. It's good to think about that. And so I kind of was looking that over, and especially with communion taking place on Sunday, I thought tonight would be a good time to kind of focus on some of these things before we go into prayer. And as I was studying over it, the Lord just kind of, it's interesting how he lays things out there plain as day for you. You know, sometimes I get anxiety maybe a little bit or nervousness a little bit and getting, before I get settled on what to teach or preach on. And once the Lord kind of makes that clear, I feel a lot better and kind of meditate on that throughout the day. And that's kind of how the day has been for me. And this here, it's talking about the Lord Jesus and again, the Pharisees and kind of what they're about. They were kind of getting on Jesus there. Actually, they were kind of poking at the disciples about their father, their teacher, Abba Father, I guess you'd say, kind of the way they would, or Rabbi, the way they would call that. And they're saying, "Hey, you know, you're following this fella around and he's running with the bad crowd. He's not running with the right crowd. And I don't know why you're following him around or spending time with him. He's going to pull your reputation down." And I thought that was kind of interesting, but that's just how they were. But if you look at, again, Matthew 9, start with verse 9, just these four verses here. It says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and saith unto him, Follow me." What a life-changing experience that was for Matthew at this time. "And he arose and he followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." People were taking note of who was there and the reputation. You can kind of see this take place as they were watching people come in. They're like, "Oh, they're here. Why are they here? Who invited them? Do they know where they're at? Do they know who they're with?" You know, kind of thing here. And, you know, that's the Pharisees kind of, you know, looking down on people. They're really good at that. They kind of mastered that. But they're really good with that. "When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that," they heard it, they said it loud enough for him to hear, "he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the fellowship that we can share, God, with you personally. And as a group together, as a church, as a unified body, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your word. It should always be the centerpiece of everything that's done, everything that's said and done. And God, I just pray that you bring this out tonight, God. Lord, I thank you for laying on my heart and showing me things and teaching me things through this, God. But just help us as we prepare for Sunday. It's always very important to be prepared for Sunday service, Wednesday service, anytime we go to church, God. But also very much importance when we're talking about communion and the Lord's Supper, God. We want to observe that correctly, God, and take that seriously. And I know we do, God, but I just have that on my heart strong, Lord, for this season, God. And Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight, each one, God, whatever they may be facing. I pray you be with them, and I pray that these scriptures really help our hearts and our minds and teach us, God. Teach us from your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, tonight I'm going to go ahead and give you the title. I'm going to entitle this tonight, In the Waiting Room. In the Waiting Room. And I know that probably sounds kind of strange, maybe, but in thinking about going to the doctor, very rarely do you get to go in and go straight in and see the doctor. Most often you're going to spend some time in a waiting room before you get to go see him. And you get to talk to them and kind of tell them what's going on and explain to them your situation and explain to them why you're there. One of the first things my doctor asks me when I go in is, so what brings you in today? What's your problem? is basically what they're asking. Same thing a mechanic and Brother Rodney, that kind of thing there. Well, what's your problem? That'd give you a place to start, right? You know where to start looking for them, to see if they need some more blinker fluid or something like that, you know, how that works. But you see, when I kind of looking at this here and thinking about this, and I'll try to hurry along because I do want to read these things from this paper. But in looking at this, these folks that come to see the Lord, they were people that needed something from Him. They were lacking something. They needed something. And one of the things that I recognize probably in their life is they probably all weren't terminal. They probably all weren't having something that was extremely serious in that maybe it was life-threatening. But, you know, I think about when I go to the doctor, what that's like for me. I'd say very rarely, thankfully, do I go just because maybe I'm sick or something like that. Most of my visits, most of the time I spend in the waiting room is because, Brother Bill, I go for checkups. I go every 3 months. And my hope is that everything's going to check out. It's kind of just a checkup, you know. And I think about maybe for a lot of Christians, maybe that's, I'm comparing this to church. I'm comparing this to being in church. And I think for a lot of Christians or those who are dedicated, that's kind of what church is like for them. They come in for a checkup. It's not that that maybe something is crazy wrong, like I've got to go to church because all this is going on. No, I go to church regularly. It's a part of their life. It's what they do. One of the things that I've found that is very important health-wise is preventative maintenance. If you can get there soon enough, sometimes they can find out what the issue is and fix it before it does get worse. Praise God, church is just like that, is it not? I mean, you think about it. You think about situations, a person that's maybe teetering one way or the other on maybe something in sin or maybe making a life decision, not including God, that's going to pull them away from the Lord or something like that. But they get in church, they hear the teacher say something, maybe hear a song that's sang, maybe hear the preacher say something, and guess what? Keeps them right back on track. We need that. People need that. Just be around God's Word. And we need that fellowship from one another, that encouragement from one another. It's so important, again, thinking about the message from Sunday and the Wednesday night before about being a servant in service. That's very much what this is about. And I thought about this, you know, sitting in the waiting room from time to time, it's on my mind. Usually for me, it's like, wow, I hope I lost a few pounds, or I hope my numbers look good. I want my doctor to be happy. I like it when she's proud of me. I like it when she's like, man, you're doing really good. You're taking this thing serious. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you noticed it. I'm glad you can tell because I have been. And then when the numbers reflect that, you feel that much better. You think about our Christian life, our Christian walk. If we take something on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever we attend church, we take something, we apply ourselves to it, and we listen to it, and then we apply it and take it with us when we're out there through the week, when we're away from the doctor, when we're away from that influence. And we're taking it upon ourselves that we want to see this through. We want to have this. And it's a great thing that you see, hey, you know what? If I do these things, it does pay off. It's rewarding. It's fulfilling. The Christian life is very fulfilling. When you take God's word and you pray over it, you ask the Lord to show you and help you understand something, and you have an experience in life where you get to exercise it and use it, and then you see it happen the way the Lord said it was going to happen to me. That is fulfilling. It's a wonderful thing. You know, again, thinking about being in the waiting room and sitting there and just kind of thinking about my numbers. You know, you look around, you see other people. Maybe somebody's coughing. Maybe somebody's sick and you can tell that they're sick. And, you know, your heart goes out to them. You're like, boy, I hope they get to feeling better. They look like they feel pretty bad. I've been around sometimes before. They get down and lay down on the floor and feeling so rough. You're like, you might want to see them first. I'm just here for a checkup. Not like that. You know, and you think about all these things, but when you go to the doctor and you're there and you're thinking about what you have going on, I think maybe some have spent time in the doctor's office and what have you. I would say when you're thinking about your numbers, your ailment, your sickness, what is the number one thing on your mind when you're waiting to see the doctor? Think about it. I hope I'm okay. I hope my numbers come out all right. I hope whatever this is isn't as serious as it could be. You ever think about it like that? Or are you more worried about why somebody else is in there for? You know, when I go to the doctor, my number one concern, not that I don't care about other people, but my number one concern is about myself, not being selfish. But I want to make sure I'm okay. I want to make sure that I'm doing things right and things are going well. You know, I'm not so concerned about somebody else that I lose sight of why I'm there. When I look at it that way, I think there's a real good comparison of what this waiting room is like and this church is like. I think our number one priority should be the same thing in church: why I'm here. What do I expect to learn from this visit? What do I expect to gain from this visit? And not look at somebody else saying, why are they here? Think about the publicans. You think about that. When these people were showing up, known people that had swindled people out of money. That's what publicans, that's what they were, in the sinners. People that didn't claim anything. You know, it'd be something. I mean, wouldn't that be sad to see somebody come to church and not be welcoming them in and not say, hey, I'm glad you're here. You're in the right place. This is where you get help. The church is a hospital for sinners, for lost people. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. It's so plain and it's so simple. Thinking about maybe going to somebody or trying to help somebody, but encouraging people to go to church. And so it's not about going and doing what they do. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people, if they're not strong enough, they go out, maybe try to be a positive influence on somebody, and then in turn, that influence, the negative influence, turns on them. If they're not strong enough, that can happen. Obviously, it's not a good thing. But the Bible says, he that is learned in the word, I'm paraphrasing, communicate unto those who are not. I mean, those who are strong in the faith are supposed to help those who are weak in the faith. Supposed to help those that are lost. Supposed to reach out to them. And you see the stark contrast that is given here. Verse 12 again, it says, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's the reason that they came. That's the reason why Jesus invited those people to be there. He wanted to help them. He wanted to be a positive influence on their life. And then plainly he says here, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. That's pretty interesting, man. If you just stop with that statement right there, what does it really mean to be in church? What does it mean? Like, why do we really come? Why are we really here? When I was younger, there were times I didn't want to go, and I was made to go. Thank the Lord that didn't turn me from church. I understand why that is. You know, it's easy enough. I've talked to different people. We've talked about it in recent weeks about how the flesh is. Sometimes I'll just stay out. I'll just stay out tomorrow. I'll just stay out and I won't go. But then tomorrow comes. Thank the Lord you have that desire to be there. You go anyway. I remember when I used to work out and what have you. I don't recall one time that I regretted going to the gym. I don't. I think about how after it was all said and done, even if I was tired going into it, after it was all said and done, I was thankful I went and I felt like I gained something. Brother Allen, I think, you know what, I could have missed that. You know, it's like the service that if you miss it, you know, maybe when you could have been here, something like that, and you miss it, somebody gets saved or something miraculous like that happens. Man, I missed it. I missed it. And I want to miss things like that. And something that was interesting, and thinking again about the waiting room. And another way that that came to my mind, it's amazing how you can wake up in the middle of the night and things just come to you. But I was thinking about a post that I read recently. Somebody was talking about local churches, and I don't know the people. You see everything on social media, take it with a grain of salt. Who knows? But this is what the people were saying. I think it was two young ladies said that they attended a church, have no idea where, somewhere local. Said they went to attend a church together. They're looking to find a church and what have you. And she was saying, you know, not one person in that church came to talk to me and say, hey, we're glad you're here. Welcome. Said not one person. And they brought that up. And I thought, man, that's sad. That's sad. I can imagine when Jesus was here with the publicans and the sinners, I don't think he turned anybody away. He probably reached out to each one. That's the reason why they were there, to see what he could do, what he was going to do. You know, he drew a lot of attention during his ministry and pulling people in. And Brandy was telling me something. It's so ironic that this was said too, and it's so ironic. Brandy told me, she said that she's getting her oil changed the other week. And she heard some people talking. I don't know if it was on the phone or were they actually sitting there talking. Talking to each other. Talking about church. And basically it was the same conversation. About how people in church, they were not nice. They didn't talk to them. They went to a church and were trying to, you know, find a place to go. And people were not welcoming and inviting. To me, that's sad. I want to see people get help. You know, and just thinking about the waiting room. Church is a lot like that. I know different people have varying levels of things that are going on in their lives, varying needs, and from time to time we have more serious needs maybe than others, but we're always in need of a checkup. Always, 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 at the very minimal, in need of a checkup. And that's where I wanted to get to this. I don't want to take long tonight because I do want to spend most of our time in prayer, but I appreciate this. I appreciate this here. It's 10 things, 10 suggestions. Here are 10 suggestions for the Lord's Day in preparation for going to church. Number one, it says, prepare your heart before you ever get there. Boy, that's good. I remember as a young person going to church, a lot of times I just went. And sometimes it was, if I got something, fine. If I didn't, I didn't. It was kind of like that. You know, as you get older and as you learn things, there's things in my life that I look back on and say, man, I wish I could have changed this, this, and this. And that is one thing that I would definitely highlight. Once becoming a saved person, once becoming accepting Christ, is taking church as serious as it truly is. Sin is a serious thing. I want to say this right here. Just because I thank God for His grace doesn't mean I diminish the effects of sin. That's extremely, extremely, the wages of sin is death. But thank God for His mercy and His grace. I do. I preach on His grace. I know sometimes I've seen it where some folks, some circles, some folks, they don't like, they don't think a preacher's maybe hard enough on this or that because they're preaching God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, none of us would be here. God's grace is the center point of everything. So I want us to know that. Obviously, I stand against sin because my Savior does, and it put my Savior on the cross because of what I did and because of what I do. I take it very serious. And I thank Him so much that He loved me enough to go to the cross for me. But prepare your hearts before you even get there. You know, that's pre-planning it. That's not what you're going to say, what you're going to do, but having your heart in the right place. Before you even get there, pray for those who will minister. Thinking about the choir leader. I want to go back further than that. I want you to think about Brother Robert, Sister Mildred. Think about the people that's here an hour before and sometimes an hour plus later. You know what kind of ministry that is? That's huge. And I want you both to know I appreciate you. And we get to have some good conversations sometimes before, usually after. Get to have some conversations together. And you think about a 40-year ministry of doing that. That's dedication. And that's preparation. That's doing something with a committed heart. Pray for those who will minister. Your choir director. Pray for him. Each of your teachers. Your treasurer. All your deacons. Pray for them. The business of the church is that important. Pray for them. Your preacher. I want your prayers. Pray for me. I desire your prayers. You'll get more out of preaching if you pray for the preacher. Go early. Quiet your heart as you can come. As you come to the meeting. And work and lay aside distractions. It's something. If you're running late for work and you're kind of just hitting the clock as you're going right into it, that's a lot different than if you're there a few minutes early and you're greeting people as they come in. It's a different experience. I've been on both sides of that. It's very different. Number two, get out of your group of immediate friends and speak to others. You know, I never really thought about it so much. I kind of, in thinking about it that way, it's obviously important to get around and talk to people. And I think, in my mind, I try to talk to everybody after the service. We might leave these doors locked and force everybody out those doors. I could get everybody if we did that, you know. But I understand people got places to be and the line can be long. But get out of your group of immediate friends and speak to others. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's Proverbs 18:24. So often churches are filled with religious cliques that hinder the fellowship of believers. And strengthening of the body. Speak to a new visitor. Sit by someone who needs encouragement. Shake hands with a person you don't normally speak to. God will use you, and He will use it in your life. There's a lot to that. There's a whole lot to that. I know several times a little bit different, but sometimes you go to visit with somebody with the intent to make them feel better, encourage them, but a lot of times it's been the opposite. Somebody's encouraged me. And what a blessing that is. I think that'd be similar like this sometime. Just somebody see, hey, this is, they care. They're glad I'm here. They care. They want to see my well-being be what it should be. They're concerned about my well-being. And number three, participate in every part of the meeting. When the congregation sings, sing. When the offering is received, give. When someone leads in prayer, it proposes that the others are following in prayer, praying together. Don't just listen, seek the Lord. Spectators don't find the blessings, participants do. And that's very true. That's something I have found true. If it's in class, if it's in church, or whatever that may be, the more involved I am, the more I take home with me. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. To see people soaking in the Word of God. That's a beautiful thing. And to see that and to take it and to use it. Look at verse number four. I say verse number four. I don't know why I keep saying that. But you don't have this in front of you either. But number four, it says, go to be a blessing, not to get one. That's the part about being a servant. Talked about that on Sunday a little bit too. You know, it's not about what I can do for me or what I get for me. It's what can I do to help somebody else. People often leave churches and say, I'm just not getting fed. While that may be true in some places, I fear that the greater problem is many people never learn to feed anyone else. Make it your mission to encourage and edify others. As you do, you will find a special blessing. I find that to be true. I find that to be extremely true. That some of the strongest friendships, I'd say the strongest friendships I have, are centered around that one thing. And it's because there's a time in life we met, probably usually in school at an early age. We had church in common and we knew we had that foundation together. And there's certain people in your life, and you'll probably think about them when I say this, there's certain people in your life that you will go to when you need a pick-me-up. And there's some people in your life that you're not going to go to. Like, no, that's just not how it is. But somebody that is willing, maybe mature enough in God's Word, that can tell you what you need to hear at that time. There are verses for about everything we go through in this human life. And I thank God for people who can find those verses and share those verses with me when I need to hear those things. And maybe if I can do that for somebody else. But go to be a blessing and not just to get one. Number five, it says, pray throughout the meeting for yourself and others. Again, taking care of yourself and the business for yourself. Breathe a prayer for your pastor, for souls. Commune with God and intercede for people. You know, as we are concerned about ourselves, we do need to be concerned about other people and their well-being and what maybe they're going on in their life. Follow along in God's word and take notes of truths you need to remember and repeat. Write down what you do not want to forget. Plan to put the truth you hear into actions and pass it along. I thank God for times that being able to be under preaching and take the, if it's even just, sometimes it's just the word. I remember different ones, Brandy, and I remember other people talking about this too. I can recount, Brother Bill, almost the entire message sometimes just by remembering that phrase that I wrote down. I could almost take you back to that night or that morning. Remember, it's something that impactful. It's important. God wants you to remember those things. And it's important to do that. Somebody, it takes time to study it out so they can expound that or give that to you. It's important to remember those things, not just let it go in one ear and out the other. God's word is absolutely our help. Number seven, respond when God speaks. Boy, I've been guilty on that one. I have. Lord nudged me, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to. These people think I'm trying to put on a show. They'll think I'm trying to be holier than what I am. And Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I'm not going to move. Well, here's the thing. We're not unworthy. So we can get that off the table. Every single one of us, none of us is worthy, but He is. And you think about the ones that was forgiven the most, that's the one that should be thankful the most. The ones that's willing to show it the most. I tell you, God's been too good to me. To not be able to tell people inside church or outside church, He's been too good to me for me not to share those things with other people. Never be ashamed to kneel at an altar, to say amen, or to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's where the key's at. He might ask you to do the most uncomfortable thing, but He'll get the blessing out of it if you do it the way He wants you to. And that's what it's about. It's about Him and worshiping Him. Look at this one here. 8 says here, refuse to be critical. That's your Pharisees. See, that's what they did. They watched these people come in one by one. They were critiquing them and turned around and critiqued Jesus Himself. I tell you, the spirit of being critical or criticism, that's a deadly thing right there. You want to kill a service? Throw that in the mix. We're none above what the Lord has done for us. Avoid empty chatter. Both at the meeting and after, major on the good and not the negatives. Do not tear down God's servants or speak against the Lord's people. Gossip and griping never honor God. Do you want to kill a service? Do that. Do that. 9, it says, talk with others about what the Lord did in your heart. Speak a good word to someone before you even leave the meeting place. Talk to your family on the way home about the sermon and the work of God. Share the truth you received with others throughout the week. God will flow more freely through an open tributary than through a dead sea. That's maybe a little humor in there, but it's the truth. This bless me if you can kind of stuff, that's not how the Lord wants to work. I tell you, when you think about what being a Christian is and what He's delivered us from, We have the good news. We have the best news. And why should we not be sharing that? Why should we not be showing that? Especially in the Lord's house. And number 10, minister gratitude to those who minister God's word to you. A kind word goes a long way. Do not take for granted those who are used of the Lord to lead you forward for Christ. Let him that is taught in the word, that's the verse I was saying before, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That means take care of those who are taking care of you spiritually. That's Galatians 6:6. Communicate gratitude and appreciation to those who teach you God's truth. I think about this a lot. I think about, again, different services. I think about the night that I got saved and different services I got help in. I tell you, I look up and I can recount Preacher Carl, Brother Wynn, different people that had influence in my life. I tell you, I appreciate those times. That changed my life. God used that to change my life. And I wouldn't take nothing for it. And the importance of it, you think about somebody that is willing to take the time to care about you, think about you, maybe when you don't, not even thinking about them and they're studying, and maybe something comes up and your face comes across the page there as they're studying, you're thinking, hey, my goodness, I want to help this person. It's okay to let them know. That's what's being said here. It's okay. It ain't nothing about bragging on somebody and giving somebody the big head, but I tell you, appreciation is absolutely important. It's important to appreciate those and show that, and so that they can know that. I think so many times about other things, past happenings and dealings I've had with preachers and different people, and I want them to know how much I appreciate them and the time that they've invested in me in my life. There are many other things that God will show you about making the most of a church meeting. We all must begin somewhere. Would you join me in trying to apply these principles this week? Don't just go to church. Make the most of it. And I appreciate that. I thank you for giving this to me. I've read over that several times, and I tell you, there's more and more verses that you could add that go right along with that. It's scriptural. Some verses were added in there, but it's very scriptural. But I thought that went right along with what we're talking about, those who need the physician. And I need it. If it's just for a checkup, or if it's for a full heart exam from time to time, and that's what we really observe when you think about the Lord's Supper and communion, that's a full time of self-introspection, self-examination. And it's very important that we do that and we take that serious. And I believe we do. But I'm just teaching, preaching tonight just based off of what the Lord laid on my heart. But I'm going to stop there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add tonight?
Talking about being in church.